Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Kings, Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Let him cry. It's all right, all right, all right, all right. God's word reads as thus. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you." So he went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, "Would you please bring me a little water in a cup?" As she was going to get it, he called to her, "Bring me a bite of bread too." But she said, "I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die." But Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid." Pay attention to that. "Go ahead and do just what you said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again." So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. So I want to encourage your hearts with the thought, when all you have is all you need. 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 It's 1887. A 16-year-old boy left his home in Sweden. He left his home in Sweden for the promise of America. He left with just $5 in his pocket. Spoke practically no English. His first years in America were backbreaking. They were hard. He spent many years in hard labor. He worked in logging camps and coal mines, sweat of the brow. But after 14 years of working in hard labor, he amassed some $13,000 in a fortune. $13,000. With that $13,000, he started his first shoe company. That one store, y'all, grew into a multi-million dollar retail empire. All started by John W. Nordstrom of Nordstrom Department Stores. Y'all quiet in the house today. Some of y'all done graduated from Jacques Pinet and Wally World. Some of y'all know about some Nordstrom. Some of y'all quiet on me in the house today. I'm always fascinated by these kinds of stories. How people believe in a promise. They believe in an ideal, in an idea, a promise that something will be better, something will be greater. And they start out with little. Not much, but just a little bit, and it grows into much. I don't know, y'all. I believe that America has many great opportunities. But in my years of living, I found out something, that the American promise, as good as it might be, is harder for some people to reach than other people, for whatever reason it might be. That many people believe in the American promise. They have the American dream. I found out something. A promise is only as good as a promisor, including the promisor's power to bring that promise to pass. So belief in the American promise, y'all, it's really fleeting. You know, it could happen. Maybe it won't happen. Because it's based upon human ability, human ingenuity, human plans and human schemes. But I came to tell you something, that faith in the promises of God always leads to favorable outcome. Holding on to the promises of God always leads to a favorable outcome. Having faith in God, y'all. will always lead to a favorable outcome. The word faith, mentioned some 240 times in the New Testament scriptures. Having faith in God, mentioned over 100 times in scripture. The word faith, y'all, we read about the word faith. We see the word faith in scripture, but do we really have faith in God? Do we really trust God? So we have many different types of gifts, y'all, skills and abilities. But when we apply our faith to what God has put on the inside of us, it can manifest itself into the promises of God. Don't underestimate the importance of faith. That's what I'll talk about this morning. Just a simple word this morning. Don't underestimate the value of faith. Don't underestimate what faith can do in your life, in my life. We talk a whole lot about we walk by faith and not by sight. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not seen. Without faith is impossible. We say a whole lot about, but do you really have faith? Only you can answer that question. Do you really have faith in God? So listen. You may never receive the promises of America, but if we take the little that God has given us, or the much that God, and we apply it by faith, I just believe it produces wonderful things in our lives. Hallelujah, somebody. So sometimes all you have is what you need. Look at your neighbor and say, sometimes all you have, tell somebody that, sometimes all you have is all you need. So how can this miracle story help us today as we use whatever God has given us, whatever talents, whatever gifts, how can we use the little or the much that God has given us to help us receive God's blessings? I'm glad you want to know. Turn with me in the text, y'all, again. Let's start at verse 8. It says this. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. First know this, that dry places, y'all, often drive our faith. Dry places often drive our faith. Look at the text. It says then. What comes before the word then? So Bible readers, we know that Elijah was a great prophet of God. Probably one of the greatest prophets of God. That he rebuked kings. He prayed mighty prayers. That Elijah would pray, y'all, and it would rain. He divided the waters of the Jordan River. That it came a time, y'all, when he called on God who flashed down fire from heaven and consumed the sacrificial offering. Elijah was a bad dude. Yeah. That Elijah, y'all, was the HPIC. He was the head prophet in charge. you know you a bad dude or a bad dudist when you can talk to God. And God will flash down fire and consume something, y'all. It reminds me of a text, y'all, in Luke chapter 9. Where those great disciples, those great brothers of thunder, James and John, y'all, they were upset. They were upset, y'all, with the Samaritans because the Samaritans wouldn't let Jesus pass through a certain village. So they got upset. They said, Reverend Dr. Jesus, just get a word. Let's talk to God and call down fire and burn them all up. I'm looking around the house. They look at me, don't look around. Y'all, if we had that gifting, that ability, y'all, it'd probably smell like barbecue in here right now. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all, we be shapow, 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 shapow. Get them, God, get them, God. Don't kill them. Just put them on fire a little bit, God. So in our text, Elijah was sent by God to confront this evil king by the name of Ahab. Y'all know Ahab and his wicked wife, Jezebel. That Ahab and Jezebel, y'all, they worshiped a false god by the name of Baal. This false god, this idol god was bringing God's people down. They were falling into idol worship. And so they believed that this false god, this Baal, that he was a god that brought rain. And so Elijah has to go to Ahab and said, listen, this is the love transliteration. Yo, peep this, Ahab, listen. God told me to tell you that it's not going to rain for several years. And this was to prove that God was truly God, not this false hunk of junk, not this idol, not this metal in this wood. And so God causes this drought in the land. And so what does God do? He protects his servant. He protects the prophet, the man of God, by telling him to hide at a certain brook. So Elijah was at the brook, y'all, and He drank from the cool waters of the brook. And God miraculously had this bird, this raven, that would bring him food every day. But when you read out the story, it says, but after a while, y'all, the brook dried up. So then, now we get to the then. God told Elijah, go to Zarephath. There you're going to see this widow woman, and she's going to provide food for you. And so what does Elijah do? So by faith, Elijah goes. But you have to notice something about the story, that the brook dried up. Yeah. That I believe it was the drying of the brook that caused his faith to kick in. So God will cause y'all some things in your life and my things to dry up on us, y'all. It'll cause it to dry up. This drying up of a brook, y'all, it can represent spiritual provision. It's a metaphor for God's sovereignty and discipline and redirection. So the prophet didn't do anything wrong. So he wasn't being punished, but God had to redirect him. I don't know about y'all, but if I'm by the brook, y'all, and I'm drinking the sweet waters of the brook, and I got a bird bringing me food night and day, I just sit there in comfort, I'd probably stay there for a little while. God speaks and the prophet has to move, but it's because the brook dried up on him, y'all. It was a test of his faith, his dependence on God. Y'all, dry places often drive our faith. And again, sometimes God has to allow some things to dry up on us to facilitate our faith. That God will allow some comfort zones to dry up. Amen, somebody. That he'll allow some unhealthy relationships to dry up on us. Sometimes he'll allow the resources to dry up so we can trust and depend on him. He'll allow self-dependence to dry up, pride to dry up, y'all, applause to dry up. And we have to trust God. When God dries it up, y'all, it's not a time to panic. It's a time to prepare. Because the drying season is oftentimes God's directing. See, God is changing a direction in your life. Sometimes things dry up so God can shift you in another direction. So when God dries some things up, God, if you got to dry it up, dry it up, dry it up. Because God, I want to be on your agenda. I want to do what you called me to do. Sometimes God will allow things to dry up in our lives, beloved. Dry places often drive our faith. Not only that, keep looking at the text. Verses 10 and 11. So he went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks. And he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? That was all right. But he says this, as she was going to get the water, y'all, he said, hold up, bring me a bite of bread too. Ooh, wait a minute. Understand something. Coincidence is not in God's vocabulary. So, in faith, Elijah does what God instructs him to do. He goes to Zarephath, and there at the entrance of the gate stood this widow woman. That she would be Elijah's assignment. This was not a mistake. This was not an accident. So remember that it was a drought, y'all, that before God fed him with this unclean bird, with this raven. And now here is this widow woman that's supposed to feed him. It's a drought. She ain't got much. So in those days, a widow, y'all, listen, they generally did not have much, y'all. They had to scavenge for whatever they could get. They had little support. So why would God bring Elijah, the prophet of God, the man of God, to this widow woman? Found out something in life, y'all. That God can meet our needs, y'all, in some strange ways. Ways that don't make sense. In ways that we don't even expect. In some strange places, in some God can meet your need. And understand, so it's when God does it, it's not by coincidence, it's by divine providence. So Elijah, you got to get the picture. Elijah shows up at the gate. It didn't say he went into the city, went searching from house to house. There at the gate, there was his assignment. There was a woman that would take care, and he would take care of the woman. It wasn't luck, it was the Lord. I think about y'all when we acquired the church property, the second piece of the church property just a little while back. Some of y'all know the story. That we had always been wondering, y'all, well, who was going to be our neighbor? Would it be a fireworks stand in an Airbnb? Would it be a liquor store? Would it be, we didn't know it. They're right next to us. And so been praying for a long time, God. Y'all, I'm being straight up, y'all. See, I got this kind of thing. I said, God, give us the property. I, for nothing, for zero, for nothing. It didn't work out like that. It didn't work out quite like that. But y'all, as we were looking at the property, someone else was looking at the property next door, y'all, and they were talking about what they wanted to put on the land, all of this and that and this and that. And so I'm saying, well, maybe we need to check on this. And so sure enough, with Sister LaTanya in the house, where is she? So goes to the bank, y'all, to inquire about this one piece of property in all of San Antonio, this one bank, y'all remember the banks in San Antonio? Do you know how many financial institutions are in San Antonio? I looked at Bank of America the other day. There are over 40 locations of Bank of America alone. But this one banker knew exactly what was going on with that piece of property in this one bank. That wasn't a coincidence, y'all. That was divine providence. And we jumped on it, y'all. We jumped on it. And look at what we have today. Almost another 2 acres of property. And that was all God, y'all. Coincidence is not in God's vocabulary. So you need to look around and see what God is doing in your life. Don't think it's just luck. Oh, it's just chance. It's just, no, that's God. It's not luck. It's the Lord. Let's keep on reading, y'all. Let's keep on reading. So coincidence is not in God's vocabulary. Let's look at verse 12. But she said, I swear by the Lord, your God. Your God, but she's going to be her God too. Your God, that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last flour and this last cake. And then my son and I, we're going to die. So faith, y'all, equates to, it means forsaking all, I trust him. Y'all have heard that acrostic before. Faith, F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. So from the woman's comment first to Elijah, we would assume that maybe she has some relationship with God, but she says, he's your God. But I believe in the process, God became her God as well. One thing for sure, God had his eyes on her. The woman replied, all I got is these sticks and a little flour and a little oil to make a couple of pieces of cornbread. Can we say cornbread, y'all? It's for me and my boy. We're going to eat this and we're going to die. So have you ever been there in your life? Have you ever felt like you're at the end of your rope? Have you ever felt like giving up? Have you ever felt like you're at the bottom of your barrel? No more to give, nothing left in you. This is all I got. We show up at church, y'all, and we look real good on the outside, but we're at the bottom of the barrel, y'all. We're ready to give up. So why would God do this? Why would God say to Elijah, go to this widow woman. All she got is a little bit. She don't have a whole lot, but she's going to sustain you. So it required faith from Elijah to get the food he needed. And why would God ask this poor widow woman to give up her food, her last, to this prophet Elijah? So it required food from the woman to get the faith that she would need. And so faith, y'all, becomes the common denominator in the story. And it's faith in God Almighty. That faith is trusting God no matter what. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what it feels like, faith is simply trusting God no matter what. I wonder if we got some people in the house that have that kind of faith. So increased faith, beloved, it's so important. I think about child and learning how to ride a bicycle, and you know how you have to take the training wheels off. Anybody that's got children, you know, when you teach them how to ride a bicycle. Anybody that knows how to ride a bicycle, you learn when you were 3, 4, 5, 6 years old that eventually the training wheels had to come off. And it would be mom or dad or a sister or brother or one of the friends in the neighborhood, if they would let you get on the bike, and you know how you sometimes you scoot yourself and you try to get your balance. You ain't pedaling yet. You just scoot off on the bicycle. You scoot off, and sometimes dad would get behind the bicycle, y'all, he'll get, and he'll hold on to the back of the seat and just say, just now get a start pedaling, start pedaling, start pedaling, start pedaling, pedal, pedal, pedal. And then dad would let go, and now you ride, and now you ride, and you cheated, and you ride. Boom, and you fall, and you scrape your knee, and you cry, you know. Y'all, these kids today, y'all got it good. Yeah. So we didn't have y'all helmets and pads, and you just fail. And when you fail, it was okay. You just gonna scrape a knee, you're gonna bust your head. That's okay. You just get up and you wipe the little blood off, you know. Mama put a little Bactine on it, you know, cure cry, and you keep on going. But the point is, it's about learning how to take the training wheels off of the bicycle. Take the training wheels off of the. But can God take off your training wheels? Can God remove the training wheels from off of the? But can God take off your training wheels today? Say, somebody's got training wheels on, and God wants to take them off. He wants you to walk by faith and not by sight. He wants you to run and not. God wants to take off. Can God take off your training wheels? Forsake your fears. Desert your doubts. Abandon your anxiety and walk in real, true faith. Let's keep on reading, y'all. But Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. I like those words, that word afraid. Mentioned some 365 times in the Bible. That means we have at least 365 scriptures in Holy Writ that tells us don't be afraid, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you said, but make a little bread for me first. Ooh-wee. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. This is God's promise. This is God's word. This is God's truth. God is not a man that he should lie. There will always be flour and oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. You know, I found out something in life, that real faith, it rarely makes sense. Elijah asked her in essence, make food for me first. And God's promise will be to you that God's going to give you, he's going to keep on providing. It's going to keep on flowing. God's going to give you leftovers from now until when. So the flour represents the widow's last, y'all. That's all she got. That's all she had to survive for that one last meal. Eat the meal, her and her son would die. Let me ask you a question. Straight up, can God have your last? The truth is, God is not even asking us oftentimes for our last, y'all. We are a blessed people. We're a blessed people. But when God asks you for a particular thing, can God have it? I think last and leftovers are a little bit different. You know, last is just last. You have no more. Nothing more is coming. Y'all, we eat leftovers at home, don't we, y'all? Some of y'all don't eat leftovers. Y'all that blessed, y'all don't even eat leftovers. No. You eat one meal, you through with it. No leftovers. No leftovers. Look at me. Don't look around. But this was her last. Can God have your last? Can God have the smallest of things, the littlest of things? Can God have your time? Can God have your talents? Can God have your voice? Can God have your hands? Can God have your feet? Can God have, can God, sometimes y'all, we give God leftovers. Whatever is left, God, you can have that. After I've given all of my energy and my time to my job, after I've given time and energy to the family, after I've given this person this time and that time, now God, whatever's left, you can have that. But God wants what he wants. There's a priority. Can we give God what he wants? Y'all, at times we see what we have to offer something small or too little or insignificant for God's use. You and what you have to offer, y'all. It just might be somebody else's blessing. Help somebody else's situation. And so this woman's act of faith is a testimony for anyone here today that might be down to your last, that you're out of options, you're out of solutions, you're out of thoughts, but you're trusting God. Yes, sir. Listen, your home is tore up from the floor up. That's the way we say it. and you've tried and you've tried and you've tried and you're out of options, but keep on trusting God, keep on believing God. Perhaps you're in a marriage right now, and it's not good. Look at me and don't look around, because, you know, we can come to church again. We can look real good. We can put on the happy smile. We can put on the halo hat, y'all, and look real good. But stuff is jacked up. It's tore up. But can you trust God? Do you have just enough faith to hold on? Hold on to your marriage. Don't stop praying for your children. Don't stop praying for your loved one. Real faith, y'all, oftentimes makes no sense. This woman gives, she's going to give her last, y'all. At the same time, your faith can be contagious, though. Real faith, really, it makes no difference, but it can be contagious because people are watching. I think about Minister Dawn when she got the diagnosis of cancer. And God is still yet healing her. But y'all, down through these years, when she was diagnosed some time ago, I'm sure there were some moments when she was crying and we didn't see her. But her faith, it never wavered. That every time she still lifted up her hands, still had joy in her heart and a smile on her face. That y'all, real faith, it makes no sense. You get cancer, y'all, see what you do. Real faith oftentimes makes no sense as we trust God for healing, as we trust God for deliverance, as we trust God for provision. Let me keep on reading, y'all, so we can go get something to eat. Because this bread, y'all, this in the chair is making me hungry. So she, this woman, she did as Elijah said. And she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Listen, little plus faith equals much. That's real simple. Little plus faith equals much. The widow woman did something that made no sense from a human perspective, but it made all the sense from heaven's perspective. She obeyed the prophet's command. She obeyed the man of God, and it produced results. So the woman, y'all, she acts on a promise. She believed what the man of God said. So without verse 14, which is God's promise, verse 15 would make no sense at all. It would simply be wishful thinking, y'all. It would just be faith in faith. But her faith was in the promise of God, that the man of God said, the God of Israel said thus. When God speaks, y'all, we can believe what God says and hold on to what God says. Faith to believe is useless without obedience to act, though. So maybe God can work best, y'all, when we all tapped out, when we're down to our last, when we have nothing else. Yeah, God, sometimes, y'all, we got too many alternatives. We got too many choices. You know, maybe we got too much money. We got too many resources. Sometimes we have too many blessings. And we get comfortable in those blessings. And sometimes God has to snatch it away. Yes, sir. So in bad or uncertain circumstances. So how often do your limitations prohibit possibilities in your life? Answer that question. How many of us look too at our limitations, what we don't have, what we feel like we cannot do, rather than trusting the word of God, trusting what he says to you and me? Real simple message today. It's about faith. Faith to trust and to believe God in any situation, bad times, good times, all times. Oftentimes your mind has to change, y'all, before your conditions do. That you have to have a change in your thinking before your conditions change. Y'all, wait a minute. Look at me. Don't look around. Look at me. You ever find yourself around some negative Nathans or some negative Nancys? Now, if your name is Nancy or Nathan, I apologize. I'm just using the word. But I'm talking about the kind of people, y'all, when, you know, you can talk about faith, what God is going to do, and they always got some negative to say. Nah, I don't know about that. Look at me, don't look around. You happy, you skipping. I'm trusting, I'm believing God. And here comes negative Nathan. No. You gotta be around some people, y'all. It's like they feel like they have a divine right. to be the king or the queen of negativity. Yes. They don't offer you no good solutions about nothing. They just, when it's wrong, they're going to tell you it's wrong. But won't offer you no good excuses. Yeah, just always negative about stuff. I pray for those kind of people. Amen, amen. We have none in this church. We have none in this church. We have none. Look at me, don't look around. So where was I, y'all? Where was it? So perhaps we can give up some stuff, y'all, too quickly because our faith has not been exercised properly. We give up on stuff way too fast because we have yet to exercise our faith in that certain area. I remember, y'all, some years ago when I decided I was going to get healthy, you know, because I know what healthy is. And I decided, y'all, I'm going to get out again and I'm going to start running. Y'all. I ain't going to tell you how much. I'm dropping on the weight, y'all. I'm doing good. I was a little heavier then. I'm gonna get down there. Y'all, I get out there and I'm gonna run a mile, y'all. I'm just gonna be like Flash Gordon. I'm gonna run. Y'all, I get about 40 feet and it's like, hold on. My heart is like, hold up, wait a minute, what you doing? What you doing to me? My legs are tight, y'all, and I'm limping, y'all. And no, you can't do that. Because my body has not been exercised enough in the area of running to run like that. And beloved, sometimes our faith is like that. It has not been exercised enough in a particular area of our lives. And so God has to get us in a place, y'all, where we can exercise faith and that faith can grow, it can grow, and it can grow and become stronger and we can run, y'all. So let me close this out. So Elijah had faith in God. He goes to the widow's house, y'all, as instructed by God. The widow had faith and gave this food to Elijah. She gave it to him first. And they lived on, can I say leftovers? They lived on leftovers for a long time. All she had was a little flour and oil, yet all she had was all she needed when she mixed it with faith. Yeah. Listen, sometimes all you have is all you need when you mix it with faith, when you trust God, when you believe God. Live in faith. I believe we're in that season right now. Where we're trusting God for great things, for greater things. But as a congregation, as God's people, we got to have faith. Stand on faith and believe God for greater things. Some of y'all old enough to remember. Some of y'all remember E-40. The rapper E-40. Some of y'all older. He had a song. He said, show me what you're working with. Show me what you're working with. Don't listen to that song. Don't listen to the song. Just... But I believe the Bible, y'all, is filled with stories of people that had little to nothing to work with. But God did some incredible things through these people. God got the glory out of it. I think about Abraham, that all he had to offer, y'all, was a dead man's body. All Sarah had to offer, y'all, was a barren womb, but God produced a nation from a barren womb. They didn't have anything to work with, but look at what God did in their lives, y'all. I think about Moses. All Moses had, as they say, he had a stick and a stutter, y'all. He didn't have very much to work with, but he delivered a people out of Egypt. That God can take a little, y'all, and do a whole lot with a little. I think about Gideon. Come here, Gideon, the judge. Gideon, come here, Gideon. What you got, Gideon? I ain't got nothing. I'm running, I'm hiding for my life. But God used Gideon, y'all, to save a whole bunch of folk, to destroy, y'all, their enemies. I think about this little boy, that all he has, y'all, is a few loaves of bread and a few fish. But what does Jesus do with it? That he breaks it, he blesses it, and he breaks it, and he feeds 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. That Jesus talks, y'all, about faith in the scripture. He says, have faith the size of a mustard seed. I don't deal a whole lot with mustard seeds, y'all, but I believe the scriptures. That if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, God can do a whole lot. That you can move mountains, y'all. That you can do great things when you just have just a little bit of faith. It's not the quantity of faith. It's the quality of faith. And your faith must be in God. Your faith is in Jesus. But y'all, I do know something about, I don't know about no mustard seed, but I do know something about cornbread. And I'm just saying, this ain't the whole, this is just a cornbread muffin, y'all. it's just a little thing. But God is asking us today, do you have little cornbread faith? Do you have just a little bit of faith to trust me? Do you have just a little bit of faith to believe me that I can do any big thing but fail? Do you have just a little bit of faith to trust my promise that I'll bring? Do you have just a little bit of faith that I will provide for you? I'll provide for your every need. Do you have just a little bit of faith to believe that I will sustain you and I will keep you? Do you have a little bit of faith to believe I am your present help? I will always be with you. I will lead you and guide you. Do you have just a little bit of faith? A little cornbread faith. Can I call it cornbread faith this morning? Just to believe and trust. What are people with a little cornbread faith? What are you trusting God for? What are you believing God for? All you need is a little bit of faith. And work with that and God can do many things. If all you have is just faith, you have everything you need. If all you got is faith in God, you have everything you need. If all you have is faith in God, you have everything you need. Because it brings the God of glory and all power to your circumstance and my circumstance. And the God that we serve can do anything, anything but fail. But all you have is all you need. It's mixed with faith. And it will produce great things. Beloved, have faith in God. Living faith, let's stand together, have faith in God. I see God doing great things, miraculous things, wonderful things. Things that a budget may not support right now. But I read somewhere the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world that they, I read somewhere that cattle on the thousand hills belong to him. That God can defy a budget. that God can multiply. We too big, we trying to add numbers, but God is multiplying. God got some different mathematics, y'all. And we're going to trust God. We're going to believe God for what he has in store for this ministry. God wants us to minister to the area around us. But it's living faith is going to require faith. It's going to require great faith. And sometimes y'all gonna look, Pastor, you don't even say, you sound crazy, but that's how we walk by faith and not by sight. We're gonna trust God for some things, y'all. We're gonna stand upon the word of God. We're gonna listen to discern his voice, and we're gonna trust God for some things. And the church said, amen. Hallelujah and amen. That's it, y'all. That's it. That's all I got for you. With all you have is all you need. Let me put my cornbread up. That go good with some pinto beans. When all you have, it's all you need. It's mixed with faith. And it's not just faith in faith. It's faith in the true and the living God. It's faith in his son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you and for me. And this is really what it all boils down to. The text doesn't say it. But I just believe through this woman's experience with the man of God, with Elijah, that in the text she says, it's the Lord your God. That somehow in this exchange that she saw God as her God too. The God that can deliver, the God that can provide, the God that saves. If you are here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, then you need to be. This is the point in our worship experience where we extend our invitation. It's an invitation to a relationship with Jesus. So to place your faith in Jesus and to receive his gift of eternal life, all of us must recognize that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. The Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one. None of us got it right. None of us always get it right. We have to confess, and confession is agreeing with what God says about our sins, that our sins separate us from God. And then we repent, we turn from our sins, and we turn to God. That we ask Jesus to save us by his grace, and then we turn our lives over to the rule of Jesus Christ, who's the Lord and Savior of our lives. If you're here today, and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, our ushers are standing in the aisles right now. Their hands are extended. We invite you in this moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. That there's no way other way to you, Father, than through your son, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, prick the hearts of people here today that may not be in relationship with Jesus. Draw them by your power. And for those that have a relationship with Jesus, but they're not connected to a local church somewhere, speak to their hearts in this moment. Let them know in this moment, God, that Living Faith Community Church, not a perfect church, the place where we're connecting real life to a real faith, where we worship you, we praise you, we serve you. Pray, oh God, that they would hear your voice. If not even this church, some church, oh God, where they can fellowship with other believers, serve with other believers, pray with other believers. Speak by your Spirit, oh God. I pray that your people are listening. Draw them one by one, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So again, if you're here today, you're not connected to a local church somewhere, we invite you to come. Ushers have their hands extended. Won't you come in this moment? Won't you come? Won't you come right now? If you don't have a saving relationship with Jesus, you need that. That's the most important decision you will ever make in your life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Won't you come right now? Won't you come? We plead with you, won't you come right now?
You just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.